And now a reading from Mark, verse 4, chapters 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern asleep, on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with a great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mo, for reading our scripture this morning. Good morning, everybody. Hey, and welcome, welcome this morning. My name is Emily. I'm one of the pastors here. And didn't we have fun last Sunday? Oh, my goodness. Many of us were out there at the park. We had worship at the park and a picnic afterwards. I think we had so much fun, we might need to do it again. That was wonderful. And if you didn't have a chance to join us, come next time. I had so much fun. I got sick. So I brought my hot tea with me here this morning in case I start to cough a little bit. This morning we are starting a new sermon series. And as we do, I want to say that if I haven't had a chance to meet you, I hope to get to meet you soon. Maybe I can meet you today after the service. I'd love that, over in the gym. I'd love to have a chance to hear more about your story. As we start a new series today, it's called Lake Effect. And Lake Effect refers to that weather phenomenon that takes place in the Great Lakes, where the cold wind blows over the warm temperatures of the open waters there, and it causes these great snowstorms. That's not what we're talking about for the next 3 weeks. What we're talking about is a different lake, the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and a different effect, which is the impact that it has on the lives of the disciples and on us. As we spend time with Jesus in and around that water and spend time in and delving into those stories more deeply. So many stories of Jesus in the Gospels take place in or around that Lake of Gennesaret. So we're going to spend time for the next 3 weeks there and see what effect, what impact that has on our faith as we spend that time with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we love you and we want to grow in our faith together with you. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to grow like those kindergartners excited to get their first Bible. Lord, may we be as excited today to step into your word together. And may the words of our mouths, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, as you take over and get me out of the way. All of this we pray in the name of Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, as all of God's people say, amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 or your Bible apps, because that's where we will be today, and put yourself in the story. That is, after all, what the artist Rembrandt did in 1633 when he painted this story. You'll see in that story, and in that painting rather, that the mast is about to break, the sail is about to tear, and the boat is about to topple over in the water. And when you count all the disciples in the boat, there are 13, not 12. Because they're the 12 usual disciples and Rembrandt hanging onto a rope beside them. Now, the boat that's in that painting is about the size of an average fishing boat back then, which was about 7.5 feet wide, about 4.5 feet deep, and about 27 feet long, which is about from here to about the sixth pew back there from the front. Put yourself in that boat with Jesus. paint yourself like Rembrandt did into this story. Imagine it. About 20 minutes ago, things were calm. It was nighttime on the water. All day, Jesus had been sitting in the boat with you. He was teaching the crowds who were lined up there on the shoreline. We know this water well. And after the sun went down that day, Jesus suggested that we all go over to the other side of the lake. So we're watching the waves. We're watching the wind. This lake that we spend so much time on is shaped like a harp, 13 miles long at the widest part, about 7 or 8 miles wide. The Jordan River flows in from the north and out of it to the south. And we've been on this water so much that some of us have even made a living here on it as fishermen. Peter, James, and John are watermen. They know how to read the water and the sky better than the rest of us. And we all cross it so often that there's a little rhythm we've got worked out. Who mans the ropes? Who handles the sails? And today we've noticed Jesus is tired from teaching all day. So we take him just as he is, resting now and blending in with the feel of the rocking of the boat, and he falls asleep in the stern at the back on a cushion. And we hear the water lapping at the sides. We and the other guys are chit-chatting about what Jesus was teaching that afternoon, what we understood, what we didn't, how the crowd responded. And then we're catching up on what's happening in each other's lives, what our plans are for the next day. And from out of nowhere, the wind kicks up. Storm clouds form. They grow heavy and the bottom falls out of the sky. The wind now is roaring. The rain is pouring. The boat is tossing violently. The sail is tearing. Waves are swamping the sides, the bow. Maybe it's a bit like those summer thunderstorms that roar through Stafford. High winds, heavy rain, and hail the size of jelly beans and junior mints. It's a bad storm. The kind of storm that can break apart boats and leave damage in its wake. A storm so rough and so sudden that even the seasoned watermen like Peter, James, and John are frightened and did not see it coming. And seeing that they are scared makes the rest of us panic. Years ago, I served a church on Virginia's Northern Neck. And there were in the congregation there experienced seasoned watermen like Peter, James, and John who had spent decades living on the water and knew what it was to earn a living there, day in, day out, rain, storm, or shine. I asked them about this story. They said storms like this that rise quickly without warning are downright scary. The water can be calm 1 minute, they said, and then it's blowing a gale. Wind from the left, wind from the right, and 5-foot waves coming over the sides of the boat. I said, what do you do? They said, you have to deal with what's there. All you can do is ride it out because there's nowhere else to go. Hang on and hold on, they said, for dear life, and start bailing water for all you are worth. It was a storm that severe this day on the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret. A storm so remembered that it's in the Gospels also of Matthew and Luke. And I'm sure some of the Navy and Coast Guard folks in here could tell us stories about frightening storms when you're out on the water. Disciples are scared. And Jesus? Jesus is sleeping right through it all. Who in the world can sleep through a storm like that? Disciples can't figure that out. They are panicking, and they want Jesus to panic too. It's frustrating, right? They're probably wondering, does he care? care about them? Does he know they're in a storm? They want Jesus to fix it, change it, stop it, make it better, do something, get up. It's probably infuriating. You know, when you're panicking and those around you are not, and you think surely if they all understood things the way that you do, they would panic too. And so they wake him up and shake his shoulders and say, "Teacher, don't you care that we are dying here?" And he wakes up and sees their faces, feels the boat creaking, the mast swaying, the water waves everywhere. He sees the storm in all its fury and stops it. Stops the wind, stops the waves, stops the storm. And then it's what the watermen call a slick calm. Water so calm, so smooth, it's like the face of a mirror. Jesus then turns to all of us in the boat and says not, "Don't be afraid," but asks, "Why are you afraid?" We're thinking, why? Did you not see that storm? That's scary stuff. Normal people are afraid of a storm like that. You are not normal, Jesus. But we didn't say that out loud. We didn't say anything, in fact. And then Jesus asks, "Have you still no faith?" Scripture says the disciples were filled in that moment not with great faith, but with great awe. Like they didn't quite know what to do with what they had just witnessed. Looking at Jesus with bewilderment. Such power, such authority, and such peace. What happened next? Did he lie down and go back to sleep? Did he stay up and talk and help us to calm down? And we start asking each other, who is this? Who indeed? This is none other than the Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord of all creation, sitting in a boat beside us. And maybe today, it's not a stretch for you to imagine being part of a storm. Maybe the stretch today is imagining being there with Jesus. Maybe the storm part, you were already there. It was not the wind that brought your storm. Maybe it was a phone call, a conversation, a text, an email, announcing an unexpected storm of a different kind. Something's falling apart. Loss of a job, a big bill we can figure out no way to pay. A divorce in the family, the loss of someone you love, a diagnosis, deployment, dementia, needing to move again. Your kids struggling in ways that are heartbreaking, or the news feed that we read from day to day that breaks our heart or frightens us. You fill in the blank. Storms come in many shapes and sizes. And storms can make us feel so powerless. And all we can do is, as the waterman said, hang on or hold on and deal with what's there. Ride it through, ride it out, because there's nowhere else to go. Psalm 77:19 says, the only way through a storm is through it. Can't go over it. Can't go around it. Gotta go through it. And at the height of the storm, we might wonder, like the disciples did, if Jesus is aware of it at all. Does he care? Does he know? Because we want Jesus to wake up to what's happening to us. Our prayers become like shaking the shoulders of Jesus. God, are you paying attention here? Wake up and look at the storm. See me in it. It's like a parishioner some 20 years ago at another church who was on the verge of having nowhere to live and no way to pay for it. He had had one storm on top of another, all unexpected. And the church I served at the time was helping with food and connections and some bills, but we couldn't fix it. And the storm clouds kept rolling in, and he sat in my office one day pouring out his story, and I listened and I asked him if he'd talked to God about how he was feeling, and he looked at me and said, "We've had words." And it's like a clergy friend of mine who went outside during a thunderstorm to shake his fist at the heavens after a second miscarriage had left them brokenhearted. And he shouted during the lightning flashes around him at God in the storm, "Wake up, Lord. Don't you care that we are hurting here?" You might know what that feels like. To be the disciples shaking Jesus' shoulders, wanting him to wake up to what we're going through and wondering if he knows or cares. Storms can do that to us, shake our faith. And we're like the disciples when that happens in that boat with Jesus. It's interesting. We may think believing in God, having a relationship with God in Jesus Christ, will keep the storms from coming. Or we may think it will give us protection so that we never face another storm again. Except that it doesn't work that way. This story shows us that's not true. The disciples faced storms even when Jesus was with them, within reach, literally. And it didn't mean, right, that Jesus didn't love them, didn't care, wasn't with them, didn't know all about it. Jesus was with them there to make the difference. The disciples did not live storm-free, easy lives. Jesus faced storms of his own, you might remember as well. Reverend William Sloan Coffin writes that what Scripture promises us in faith is not protection always, but presence always. Jesus with us in the storm. As the storms are normal, right? In much of life, a storm is somewhere on that radar screen. And clouds are beginning to form in the distance, or maybe it's raining now, or the storm, the worst is past, and the skies are beginning to clear. Jesus has the power to stop storms. Sometimes he calms the storms outside of us. Sometimes he calms the storms inside of us. And sometimes those storms play out. And Jesus promises to be with us in the boat through every moment of it. Amen? Amen. Maybe that's why Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" It's like he's saying to the disciples, "I'm right here with you. No need to panic. I'm not going anywhere. I love you. Hold steady in me. Stay grounded. I'm in the boat always. It may feel like I'm sleeping, but I'm right here. We'll get through this together. We'll deal with it. We'll ride it out. You are not alone, not ever. I'm here." Jesus with us. Amen. Amen. Let's say that with a little more gusto. Amen. Amen. Because that's the best part. That's the lake effect. With every crossing of the waters, every turn of the page, every raindrop in a storm, every gust of wind, we can have full trust and reassurance of Jesus with us in any storm and all moments of it. John Wesley, that co-founder of the Methodist Church, said at the end of his life, the best of all is God is with us. And that's how we make it through the storm. Psalm 23 tells us the same thing, that we do not need to be afraid because God is with us and comforts us. And at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says the same thing at the end of the Great Commission there, that Jesus promises to be with us always. It's part of the biggest message we have at Christmas, right? That Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us here. It's part of the biggest message at Easter, that the resurrection means Jesus is with us forever. It's part of the biggest message at Pentecost, right? That the Holy Spirit is God with us forever. This is a bedrock fundamental to our theology, that we are painted into the story with Jesus. And the presence of Christ in your life cannot be erased. Jesus is with us unfailingly, always. And there will be days when the storms look stronger than Christ. Don't be fooled. Jesus is bigger still. There will be days when it will feel like Jesus is sleeping. Don't be fooled. Jesus is there with you. Count on it. And there will be days when the aftermath of the storm leaves damage in its wake, and more than sticks and masts will be broken. There may be broken trust, broken hearts, disillusionment. And so we start the daily work of mending and rebuilding and bailing the water and sowing the sail and dealing with it by the grace of God in the presence of a God who loves us. Because we don't do that work alone either. We do it together. Like the disciples bailing water together in the boat, we lean on our brothers and sisters in the community of faith. We do it together. This work of healing. And the good news is that Jesus does that with us too. And he is more powerful than we can imagine. Mightier and stronger than any storm is the Lord our God, the Lord our Savior, the author of redeeming, the author of reconciliation, the author of renewal, the author of rebuilding, the author of resurrection. Piece by piece. And as the storm passes, Jesus will bring that slick calm that will come with peace after it passes. Jesus doesn't let the storm get the last word. He will redeem it and bring something life-giving out of it if we can't yet see what that is. Hang on, and he will carry us through. Turn to somebody around you and say, Jesus is with you. And turn to somebody and say, Jesus is with me. That's the good news today. That's this lake effect in our story. Storms will come and storms will go. And there may be things that scare us, but they need not own us. They need not control us. Have faith, rest in the fact that Christ is with us, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord of all creation, is right in a boat beside us. And we are not ever alone. Amen. And amen.